The Nichols letter presented an entirely new argument for why Oppenheimer's security clearance should not be reinstated. His speculations went far beyond the Gray Board's verdicts. Drawing on Straw's research in Oppenheimer's FBI dossier during the 3 months he had kept it in his office, Nichols argued first that Oppenheimer was not merely a parlor pink fellow traveler. His relations with these hardened communists were such that they considered him to be one of their number. Citing the cash contributions that Oppenheimer had passed through the Communist Party, Nichols concluded, "The record indicates that Dr. Oppenheimer was a communist in every respect except for the fact that he did not carry a party card." Although the Gray Board's verdict had emphasized Oppenheimer's opposition to a crash program to develop the H-bomb, Nichols dismissed this politically awkward part of the indictment and astutely added that it was not the intention of the AEC to question the right of a scientist like Dr. Oppenheimer to express his honest opinions. Instead, Nichols shifted the emphasis to the Chevalier affair. But he embraced an interpretation of this murky business quite different from the one presented by the Gray Board. The panel had accepted Oppenheimer's admission that he had lied to Colonel Pash in 1943 when he first spoke of the Chevalier-Eltington incident. Nichols rejected this conclusion and, in an astonishing and perhaps even extra-legal maneuver, completely reinterpreted the incident. In effect, Nichols retried Oppenheimer, dismissed the Gray Board's majority opinion, and presented the AEC commissioners with an entirely new basis for removing Oppenheimer's security clearance. After reviewing the 16-page transcript of that fateful encounter between Oppenheimer and Colonel Pash on August 26, 1943, Nichols argued, "It is difficult to conclude that the detailed and circumstantial account given by Dr. Oppenheimer to Colonel Pash was false, and that the story now told by Dr. Oppenheimer is an honest one." "Why," asked Nichols, "would Oppenheimer tell such a complicated false story to Colonel Pash?" Rejecting Oppenheimer's quite plausible explanation, that he had sought to divert attention from both Chevalier and himself, Nichols pointed out that Oppenheimer did not give his present version of the story until 1946, shortly after he had learned from Chevalier what Chevalier himself had told the FBI about the incident. Withholding from the commissioners the critical fact that Eltington's interview with the FBI, conducted simultaneously with the FBI's interview with Chevalier, had irrefutably confirmed the 1946 Chevalier-Oppenheimer version of the Chevalier affair, Nichols concluded that Oppenheimer had lied in 1946 to the FBI and again in the 1954 hearings. Nichols had unearthed no additional facts. Indeed, he had suppressed facts. He merely asserted that Oppenheimer lied to protect his brother, a theory that, as we have seen, has scant evidence to support it. Curiously, the Gray Board made no effort to obtain testimony from Frank Oppenheimer, nor, for that matter, from the two principals, Hoken Chevalier and George Eltington. Chevalier was then living in Paris, and Eltington had long since returned to England, but both men could have been interviewed abroad. Nichols' letter contained only a supposition, a personal interpretation, and one that had not been raised by the Gray Board. Why, at this late date, was he introducing another theory? The answer is obvious. Arguing that Oppenheimer had lied in 1954 to the hearing board was far more damning than the claim that he had lied 11 years earlier to a lieutenant colonel. Since it is impossible to imagine that Nichols presented this radical interpretation without Straw's approval, it is clear that Straw's feared that the ambiguities in the majority's decision, combined with the clarity of Evans' dissent, might lead the AEC commissioners to overrule the Gray Board. Oppenheimer's lawyers knew nothing of Nichols' letter. Garrison might have learned of it had he been given the opportunity to present an oral argument before the AEC commissioners. The one commissioner sympathetic to Garrison's request, Dr. Henry D. Smythe, warned, "If we give Dr. Oppenheimer's attorneys no opportunity to comment on Nichols' letter, we will be open to grave criticism when the letter is published." But once again, straws prevailed, and Garrison's request was flatly turned down without explanation.